Hello and welcome to The Big Fight. Well, you know something, one of the things that has always been a source of considerable contention in Jammu and Kashmir, and I hate going into history, but this time it is important to go into history. One of the things that has often been really contentious is the imposition of president's rule, the dissolution of assemblies and the imposition of president's rule or governor's rule, or call it what you will. It has often become a really controversial subject in the state of Jammu and Kashmir, in elsewhere as well, but particularly in J&K. And now, this week, it's happened again. So on the course of the program, we're going to try and assess exactly what happened. Was this a drama that could have been avoided in some form or the other? And now that we are where we are, what is going to happen going forward? And we are going to be joined in this program by two of the key people who are involved in everything that's been happening in Jammu and Kashmir. Sajjad Loon, Umar Abdullah, both going to be with us on this program. But before I go across to any of them and we have these conversations, I want to quickly welcome the rest of the guests we have for you. It's great to have with us Salman Soz, spokesperson of the Congress Party, right with us here in the studio. Rahul Jalali, senior journalist, with us as well. Desh Ratan Nigam, lawyer, right-wing thinkers. Pleasure to have you with us. Brigadier Anil Gupta is joining us from Jammu, who's a spokesperson of the Jammu and Kashmir BJP. Vahidul Rahman Para is going to be with us, spokesperson of the PDP. Tanveer Sadiq is with us as well, spokesperson of the National Conference. But before I come to any of you, just want to welcome perhaps one of the key people in the news in the last week in Jammu and Kashmir, Sajjad Loon, joining us himself, the person who had staked claim to form the government, and then we know what happened immediately after that. Sajjad, can I just ask you the direct question, first of all? Was dissolution the right thing for the governor to do?
Well, he has taken a decision. I have accepted it, although I can tell you that I have issues. I had the numbers, and when I say I had the numbers, I'm talking within the ambit of constitution, within the ambit of legality. There is a legal way to get numbers and an illegal way, where you do something which is not permitted by the constitution. We had the numbers, we had staked a claim. The governor, His Excellency, decided that no, he will not go ahead, he will dissolve the assembly. So we're ready for new elections.
Sajjad, hang on. You're saying you had the numbers. I'm just trying to understand how exactly you've got the numbers. Let's just think this through. You got two, haven't you? BJP, 25. You add 2 plus 25. You're still way short of the halfway mark. So defections are not possible, but clearly it's not very clear how you have the numbers on that.
No, when I said legal, there is a threshold limit in available in our constitution, wherein if a large group gets together, they can move out. You see, I did not do anything. I was away. I was called by members of these very parties that our heads are being sold without asking us. They are going into an alliance just because of you, to keep you out. Please help us. Let us get together. We are all like-minded. We are having discussions with you for the last 2 years that this culture of lies and deceit has to end. You please lead us. I did not go with a begging bowl. You know, I was approached. So I couldn't possibly say no if a huge group comes in. And I'll tell you something, Vikram. Their MLAs, they are their leaders. To inspire them is their duty, not my duty. If they don't inspire their own MLAs, you can't hold me responsible.
No, so if I can read between the lines, you're saying there would have been defections from the National Conference or the PDP or both, and that's how you'd have been able to form the numbers. Because I'm saying it again, just you plus the BJP, even if you add independents, it's not enough to get you over the halfway mark. So to that extent, you don't, even by as per the Constitution, you don't have the numbers, going by that logic.
I will tell you something. There is no way I am going into the detail of who, right? That is a secret which will go with me to my grave. I will not take down the numbers. But you can see yesterday Imran Saab joined. There will be a study joinings in the next 1 month, 2 months. They're going to come in any case, and now there is no lure of power. Yeah, right. There is no lure of power. So they are not MLAs anymore, but they're still going to come and join many people. So it's not going to end there. You will see it. It's just the start.
All right. Now, I'm just going to ask you, given in light of all that has happened, How do you think, how the election is going to go? Are you going to be running it with the BJP? Is it going to be possible to hold the elections on schedule, given that a lot of security forces are going to have the general elections also in their mind? Do you do see elections going ahead smoothly now and on schedule?
I don't know. They could be held any time, depending on the security situation. In the north of Kashmir, I think they could be held any time, but there are problems in central Kashmir and south Kashmir. So let us see when they hold them. And you see, the biggest takeaway in these 4 years has been that at least some political space has been afforded to a third regional party. You know, what was till now dominated by two dynasties, there is a new party which has come, which has a sizable large number of people. Earlier on, it was focused on one area, confined to one area. Now it has got bigger wings. It will fly, inshallah. So the people of J&K have an alternative in a regional form. That is the biggest takeaway I see from this entire thing, including the theatre enacted by them day before yesterday. Vikram, the reason I am focusing on it, because there is a difference of perception when you look at it from Delhi and when we look at it here. You know, I feel complimented, vastly complimented, that two sworn enemies who were bitter rivals, the bitterest rivals, right? It's like Congress and BJP getting together at a national level. At a regional level, you have the NC and PDP getting together to keep us out is a big compliment, and I accept it and I thank them for that. And even if they get together, it still will go a long way. You know, we were expecting that even if we make the government at least in the parliament, we'll have a joint candidate from them, because they won't be able to manage us on their own. So you know, you just try to understand what has happened, try to look at the proper perspective. It's about power, you know, and the tendency to keep power within two dynasties, musical chairs, 6 years you, 6 years me. Now there's someone else who is making inroads, and it needs a lot of courage. Nobody has had the courage to stand up to them, because they're deep-rooted in Delhi, a lot of uncles and aunties in Delhi. And I think even this time, the uncles and aunties intervened and somehow ensured that we don't get to be sworn in.
Okay, Sajjan, let me just ask you now the tricky question. And you must have been hearing a lot of this in Kashmir already, where there are voices and a lot of separatist voices in particular who are saying, well, you know, New Delhi has often acted against democracy in the past. Governments keep getting dismissed out there. And it's a murder of democracy. That's what the separatists are saying.
Where is democracy? Vikram, I'll tell you something. You guys are drunk up on these dynasties. You know, totally drunk up. You should take a job as their PRO. Where has democracy been murdered? I should be saying that. Why should separatists say that? Are they elected?
Hang on. Sajjad, I said very clearly, it's not what I am saying or that I'm saying. You're hearing these voices in Kashmir. That's what separatists are using the present occasion and the present circumstances. That's what separatists are taking advantage of to spread this message in Jammu and Kashmir and in the valley. You're aware of it.
Look, Vikram, if separatist word is the word of God, then fine, they are saying many other things also. Say that also. Who gives a damn what they say? They apparently have issued a statement. They met the ex-prime minister of Norwegia. So they are in that world that has met them today. Fine, let them be there. Who actually gives a damn about them? You know, we've been there on the ground when all these people boycotted the poor man's election, which is a panchayat election, and recorded 85%, 75% polling. And none of your channels recorded it. That despite these two parties' so-called boycott, 80% people are there. Yes, if there was 5% voting somewhere, you were putting it on the big screen. Things have changed. You know, things have changed. You also follow the change.
All right. So, can I just ask you, you seem to be saying that matters are much better, and in the last 3 years, things have actually improved a lot, because there are others who believe that that's not the case, that things are worsened in Jammu and Kashmir since in the last 4 to 5 years. You think things are actually much better right now?
Vikram, at times there is a scare, which is real. At times, scare has to be invented by these two to make themselves relevant. Part of the scare is real, part is invented, so that they can do all their murky dealings. This is a quite murky world out here. Unfortunately, whenever we go to Delhi, the understanding we see in Delhi is very superficial. and basically confined to, at the end of the day, will my this Beti be in power or the Beta be in power? That is it. Move beyond that. Times have changed. It's a different set of circumstances. Lies won't go. I've been watching your TV channel yesterday. You talk about Sajjad Lone trying to break Beti Mehbooba's party and Beta Umar Abdullah's party. Did you once talk about the murder of 1987? Where they rigged the elections and till date, 30 years down the line, we are not able to come out of it. 100,000 people have died. Kiske kota mein daloge aap unko? That Congress and them got together and rigged polls. Hang on a moment. 1996, what polls were they? You tell me, put your hand on your heart. Given on a platter to them. 2002, semi-platter. These so-called Democrats aren't really very democratic when you look at their moorings in the last 35 years. So they are the least people who can dictate us about democracy or the murder of democracy.
Okay, Sajjad, last question. Just wanted to ask you that, again, the alliance with the BJP, is that something which you think is going to work? So you in charge of the Valley, the BJP taking charge of the Jammu and the other regions, and that sort of a partnership, is it something you're going to go to the people with in the election? Then it's an alliance that's going to work. Now, post-facto, post-supposed, it was tried with the PDP, wasn't always the best of experience for both the parties. You're saying it will work this time?
We have not made up. It could be an alliance. Yes, there could be. There could not be. It also depends on them, right? But let me tell you one thing. I met Mr. Modi before the elections and won and came back. If anything sticks to me, because BJP is not good in Valley, it will stick to Ms. Mehbooba Mufti, who enjoyed power for 3 years. It will stick to Mr. Umar Abdullah, who was the poster boy of NDA. It's not only me. And let me tell you one more thing. I bet I will not be surprised even a bit that they will jump again after elections. If Mr. Modi comes back to power, they will jump again and say, no, we are your real brothers. We are your real sisters. You know, leave alone the past. Don't give me this. And to be very honest, when I compare the Congress, now they said yesterday that they will team up with Congress to save Article 370. Till now, 52 amendments have been made. All 52 during Congress tenure. Right? 90% of Article 370 eroded. All during Congress tenure. So the eroders are now donning the hats of the protectors. There is a limit. This is the world of e-media. You can't lie beyond a certain point. These people who have eroded it for a long time cannot don the hats of protectors.
Right. Sajjad Lone joining us with that. Thank you so much, Sajjad, for being with us. Let me now get everyone else into it. Brigadier Anil Gupta, actually, why don't I just start off with you? The concept of an alliance with Sajjad working, is this what the BJP is pretty much now banking on in the elections going forward? It's going to be you plus Sajjad, and that's what you're going to fight the election on.
Vikram, the thing is that in Jammu and Kashmir, the democracy has been murdered by the so-called mainstream political parties, which claim to be mainstream political parties, ANSI and PDP. They have also been joined lately by the Congress. So therefore, people are in desperation. They are looking for an alternative. And the alternative which is going to emerge is the third front. I foresee that by the time the next elections are held, there will be a viable third front in Kashmir. And that would be the rising regional nationalist, pro-democratic in Kashmir.
So it's so interesting. Sajjad was just shouting at me for saying that separatists are using the word democracy has been murdered often in the valley. And you are sort of, repeating it out there. I want to just get Salman in on this. From the Congress party, sir, was there a tripartite agreement already? If the fax machine had actually worked, it miraculously didn't work, and that's something which no doubt we need to figure out why fax machines break down, although WhatsApp seems to work just fine. If that fax machine had worked, was the Congress party standing by the PDP and the NC to form a government?
When PDP and BJP broke up, we asked for the dissolution of the assembly. It didn't happen. They were trying desperately to form the government. They were trying to engineer defections through inducements, coercion of MLAs. It did not work. Recently, there was some progress on that front. So the other parties basically felt that this was subversion of democracy. JNK has really suffered because of that. And we wanted to preempt that. And that is where the PDP leader staked her claim and said that she had received support from the National Conference of the Congress. You can ask the governor on 18th of November.
No. You just said, she said that I have got the support from the NC and the Congress party. I'm just asking you very categorically, let's just be clear on this. Did she have the support of the Congress and the NC or not?
She had the support to go and stake her claim, but it was not written down. Because it was a fast-moving situation. Okay.
But
it
you had told her, so you would have stood by it. I'm just asking you,
if the fax machine had worked, if the governor had given her an opportunity, then we would go to the next step. But that next step never came.
So in the next step, the Congress party would have gone with her to the Raj Bhavan to say, yes, we are standing by her.
Well, that is now a hypothetical because the governor didn't give anyone an opportunity to do that. My point is the governor should be asked, why did you say on November 18th, 72 hours before this, before dissolving the assembly, that the assembly would not be dissolved?
I'll tell you why this is important. It's important when the governor says, I dissolved it because there was going to be uncertainty, instability, horse trading. If you just look at the numbers, if all PDP, all National Conference, all Congress are together,
55,
there is no question about the numbers.
No horse trading.
You have the number. Sajjad seemed to be indicating that there were going to be defections and or
they
one
were
of
trying
you would
to engineer
not...
the defections. Come on, it's mathematics.
Tanveer Sadiq. We saw Omar, and it was actually, I have never seen a political drama playing out on social media quite as it did in this particular case. From one person using WhatsApp to stake claim to Omar Abdullah and Mehbooba Mufti tweeting support to each other. You know, it's really, we're just seeing how technology works. And by the way, seeing as fax machines break down, perhaps not entirely a bad thing. Staking claim by Twitter may well become the norm going forward. It seems to work a lot more reliably. You can even tweet pictures to each other. So Tanveer, just wanted to ask you, had the governor not dissolved the house and had given Mehbooba Mufti the chance, would the NC have stood by her?
Well, Vikram, there were deliberations before yesterday between the leadership of three political parties. But yesterday we had a meeting under the chairmanship of Mr. Abdullah, wherein it would have been finalized and the letter of support would have gone to Madam Mufti, supporting the alliance from outside. You know, I assume that the governor did receive the letter. I assume that he knew. Everybody watches TV. He knew that these three parties had come together to form an alliance for the protection of Article 35 in the 35A in the Supreme Court. For a minute, if Sajjad Lone had the numbers, would he be sitting in London? Wouldn't he be here forming the government, being the chief minister? He had 5 months behind his back, but he didn't. Now, this was all planned that suddenly when the governor must have received that letter, they must have told Sajjad to send something so that, you know, governor could come up with an argument that, you know, there is a horse trading. And then again, that horse trading again goes on to Sajjad Lone and the BJP-supported group. It does not affect us because we were all recognized political parties coming together, not independent individuals coming together. And I'm sorry to say now the Raj Bhavans are being used for such things. And this is really unfortunate.
All right. Let me just get Mr. Vaidur Rahman in, one of the parties we haven't yet heard from. So Mehbooba Mufti, you know, okay, whatever happened with the fax machine, maybe we'll have to figure that out. But just wanted to ask you, Sajjad Lone was just now referring on this program to the fact that he would have had the numbers because people would have moved across and a lot of people were in touch with him. We have seen at least one or two people. Mr. Ansari has gone across. So could there have been widespread defections from the PDP, in your view, Vaidur Rahman? And even going forward, would there have been a lot of resentment had that alliance actually gone through?
You know, we were in alliance with BJP and this government was functioning from 3 years. It was BJP which pulled out and put the state in entire chaos and uncertainty to fulfill their agenda, whatever the agenda was, whether it was local or national level. Now, they were trying to, you know, facilitate their agenda through a local partner, and there were continuous efforts from last many months going on to do horse trading. They failed to do horse trading all these months, and then they realized, you know, let's put some pressure, let's use some money. All ways were adopted, every tactics was adopted, and we've been continuously telling Raj Bhavan to dissolve all parties. Congress, National Conference and PDP has been maintaining the same line that assembly has to be dissolved. It was BJP which has been repeatedly saying that we are trying to do formation of government. At the same time, governor himself was saying, no, there will be no underhead government. But efforts of horse trading were on. Money was being used. That's what the Raj Bhavan has itself, you know, said in a statement. Why would NCPDP or Congress do horse trading? We are recognized political parties. We have numbers and we have made a claim. All parties are making a claim that 60 MLAs want to form a government. This process of alliance, grand alliance, came with a thought of one safeguarding the special status of Jammu and Kashmir, and also there is a common concern among the people of Jammu and Kashmir that this alliance should happen, that there should be a regional force coming together.
All right, but I just want to turn my attention and now some of the broader issues, and let's broaden the discussion a little bit. If you consider the troubles that have happened in Jammu and Kashmir, it's quite often been led or sparked by the fact that New Delhi has acted in a high-handed manner and dismissed state governments and so on and so forth. By the way, sometimes an effort of an alliance to come together has also rebounded, and we know that also. So if you look at the 1983 or 1987 periods in Jammu and Kashmir, some of these events led really to a worsening of the situation. So I'm going to ask all of you now, are we to some extent playing with fire in Jammu and Kashmir? Brigadier Anil Gupta, let me start by throwing that question to you. Is national interest served when you have a very senior BJP leader saying, well, Pakistan is engineering all of this, and then having to recant that a little later and then having to apologize? When we keep saying that Pakistan is responsible for the problems, if you start using that accusation really loosely, it tends to weaken national interest. Number two, if you give the separatists, if we give them a leg, if we give them a weapon, if we say, look, we always told you that Delhi is going to start dismissing governments, and so why were you guys having faith in mainstream politics? If this starts to happen, does it weaken national interest?
So all these charges of horse trading are manufactured charges. This is to create confusion and divert attention. The second thing, the alliance which was being made by Congress and PDP, it was against the national interest. It was a single region, single religion alliance aimed at isolating other region of the state. It would have led to inter-regional conflict in Jammu and Kashmir. It would have led to serious repercussions. And that is what the Honorable Governor realized. And he said that before any more
problems...
Sorry,
in what exact way are you saying that? Alliance. Because the Congress is part of it. Congress has been really prominent in the Jammu region. The National Conference is not entirely weak in the Jammu region. The BJP is not the only party that represents Jammu. Yes, you won in Jammu this time.
All MLAs do belong to a particular religion. They do not have MLAs from Hindus.
Only a BJP person can...
Wait.
It's a very serious implication.
Shameful.
Sorry. Hang on. What did you just say?
You're
saying that if there's nobody from another religion present in the government, it's not a valid government?
You raised the question of Pakistan connection. Congress's connection with Pakistan is well known.
That you can make an exclusive government, that you don't need inclusive politics in the country.
This is the level of discourse that BJP is bringing to that
level. You don't need inclusive politics. You don't need a participatory politics. You need one religion government. That is the lesson you have been talking to the people across the country. You polarize it, the country politics. You polarize it, the institutions of government. You polarize it, central government. You polarize it, the government in Jammu and Kashmir. BJP is a newcomer in state of Jammu and Kashmir. This government, the JNK government, has always inclusive and participatory of all
regions. But wait a minute, can I just ask you a question? Why are you so sure it will not have been the Congress party? Hang on, the Congress party, the National Conference, the PDP all do have MLAs and have leaders belonging to other religions also. But why is that the criteria to dismiss governments? Because I can tell you that there are state governments in other parts of the country which will have ministers entirely from one religion. Does that mean that those should be dismissed?
What was this alliance attempting at? It is reading of the situation. You must understand that.
What was the alliance between you and the PDP trying to get at? You have to sometimes have political alliances to form a government. You can't dismiss it because you're saying that this is a... If you're having an alliance, I'm trying to understand your logic for doing this is to say it would have only represented one religion. Is that what you're saying?
Single region and single religion, yes.
Can I just...
So you're saying it is okay to dismiss a state... Hang on, I'm just trying to understand what you're saying. Because you seem to be saying something which is against the constitution of the country.
When we said that there were three parties coming together, we have two non-Muslim MLAs elected from the plains of Jammu.
That's right.
Number one. Number two, we have elected people.
Why were you staying outside?
So please don't tell us.
Why were you staying outside? Why were you not forming part of government?
And
she was putting from
and
outside.
Plus, there is an upper house
if
in the state.
If you were putting from outside,
state,
your MLS would form
it could have been very easily ensured that,
and
the other religion could also be accommodated in the cabinet. So please don't come up with this.
You people tried that you could
isolate Jammu. Does the Congress party have a presence in Jammu?
The Congress party is the only party in Jammu and Kashmir that has MLAs from Jammu, Kashmir and Ladakh. The only party. Please, Brigadier, please listen, because you have already said something that is against the national interest. Today, a national newspaper in its editorial said that Ram Madhav's comments against the PDP and the National Conference were akin to burning your own house down. What the BJP is doing, I want the country to know, what the BJP is doing in Jammu and Kashmir is against the national interest. Let me ask the Brigadier and the BJP. They keep talking about Jammu. They have 25 MLAs from Jammu, yet they were making a CM candidate from Kashmir who has only two MLAs. What about those 25 BJP MLAs? They were insulting those 25 MLAs from BJP and all the voters from BJP.
Let me just come. Hang on. I'm just going to pause the politics. I'm just going to pause the politics for a minute. Rahul, I want to ask you. Rahul, at the end of the day, party politics is all very well. But I think national interest is something that we need to keep in mind. And unfortunately, now national interest has also started to be increasingly isolated by the more hyper-nationalist that you sound. The stronger and you shout and scream and wave your flag, it means your national interest is kept uppermost in my mind. To your mind, is everything that is being happening and being said right now, especially when it comes to Kashmir in the last few years, there seems to have been an increase, well, you know, national interest means us and them. That syndrome is potentially the most anti-national thing that we have encountered in a long while.
It's dangerous for the country. It's not only anti-national, but let me point out, you are pushing away a community by making these statements, a community which guarantees your border and your LOC. They have been our bulwark. We were warned during the Kargil war that Pakistan has intruded by whom? It were Gujars and who happened to be Muslims. Let's not forget that. So let's not create these binaries. We are destroying our nation, one. Secondly, when you raise these issues of Pakistan, I think people should think about it. Because after all, you are questioning a minister in the cabinet led by Mr. Vajpayee, whom Mr. Vajpayee had preferred, and you had entrusted external affairs to him. And I'm talking of Omar Abdullah. You also had a chief minister who led your government. And today, I think it's unfortunate that they're being called Pakistanis. That should not have been done. Because you cannot entrust power like this, and I don't think our country is that weak. One. Secondly, this entire drama is like something a bad Arthur Conan Doyle writing a whodunit, but it's becoming bizarre. No one was prepared to form the government, except maybe Mehbooba Mufti, who had a non-working fax, a letter which comes, which I think she was a bit too hasty because she did not have absolute assurance of support.
But they're not post-facto saying that they would have stood by.
But if you look at the statements,
now it's a hypothetical situation.
The crucial thing is, the governor could have easily waited. He had time on his hands. I don't know why this hasty decision to dissolve the assembly and open up a Pandora's box.
Can I just turn to you? Whatever happened in this case, I think it's some of the things that have come in the aftermath of that, which are perhaps really causing a certain amount of concern. We just heard Brigadier Gupta saying that, oh, it's one region, it's okay if two religions are not being represented out there, it's okay to dismiss the government. The calling of people anti-nationals, you know, without any direct evidence of that. This is the sort of a thing which sometimes damages national interest a lot. Would you agree with that?
I look at the letter per se, the letter which was tried to be faxed. What it said to the governor, that you must have come to know by now from the media reports that I have the support of NC and the Congress. I've never seen such kind of a letter. It's taking a claim to form a government. It's hilarious. And then the last portion of the letter says that I'll come tomorrow and stake my claim. So this is not a letter, it's taking claim. So it could not have taken cognizance by the governor per se. Now, secondly, Ghulam Nabi Azad, while being on your debate,
but
on your channel, please.
For yes, a day
please.
To find
let
out.
Me let me come. Let me establish my point. Let me.
She said, "I'll come tomorrow and show it to you."
Let me come. Come.
Bumai says you have to state your support on the floor of the House.
Can I finish my
there
point?
There are constitutional precedents for a lot of
this. Can I finish my point? Yeah. So that letter per se is not a staking claim. Secondly, Ghulam Nabi Azad.
A WhatsApp is fine.
No, even WhatsApp. No, WhatsApp, a communication is complete. That is the only thing that has taken place. In that case, communication was not even complete. Now, let me hold you there. Now, second point which arises, Ghulam Nabi Azad, on your own channel while I was on a debate yesterday, was saying that we did not even have a discussion. We did not even give a letter of support. So that
Salman Soz is
so
right
let him
here.
Say Gulam Nabi Azad is a leader of opposition in Rajya Sabha.
Therefore,
PDP National Conference and all other parties are becoming wiser after the event.
But they are right. But hang on, what they are saying is
they are becoming wiser after the event.
Can we carry on?
Why did he wait even on each night? He wanted to.
I'll give you constitutional position also. What he should have done.
What was the urgency?
No, I'm just asking a simple question. He's waited 5 months. Nothing. He's waited 5 months. Either's on. He's got no one to serve him food. That's why the fax machine is not being tended. Why rush to dissolve it on the same day? You could wait for a day, 2 days, 3 days.
See, I have a different point here. I have a different point. You know, when one coalition has fallen on its own weight, the only other possibility was the other coalition which has taken the claim. In my own personal opinion, he should have called the other. But he did not call. He wanted to be impartial and also appear to be impartial. Therefore, he has done so.
All right. Can I just turn? Hang on. I don't want to turn to one of the other key players.
Instability was the basic issue.
We can go on debating this when the cows come home. And I think we'll have to leave it to constitutional experts. I'm just going to quickly turn. I did speak to one of the other. Omar Abdullah, one of the key players in all of this, of course, and where we're going to head out here. I did get a chance to speak to him. On this entire issue for the big fight. So this is what Omar Abdullah said to me about this entire drama and where we go from here.
A couple of other things that actually come out in the justification for the decision of dissolution, which is, it raises certain question marks, is A, it was an unholy alliance of people who have no political affinity for each other.
Again, it's not for the governor to decide what's holy and unholy. Why was this yardstick not used in 2015 when the BJP and PDP came together? Now, could there be an alliance more different than that? Or again, for that matter, Bihar, you have Nitish Kumar fighting an election against the BJP together with Lalu Prasad Yadav, then suddenly deciding that he wants to dump Lalu Prasad Yadav and jump into the political bed with the BJP. Now, is that not an unholy alliance? Yet, for some reason, this yardstick is not applied to those states. For 5 months, we demand the dissolution of the assembly, saying, look, this is a mess. Horse trading is going on. An attempt to buy MLAs is going on. We knock on every single door we can find. We knock on the Home Minister's door. We knock on the interlocutor's door. We knock on the governor's door. We knock on every door we can find, and the assembly doesn't get dissolved. Yet suddenly, miraculously, within minutes of Mehbooba Mufti Sahiba sending a letter saying that we are going to form a government, the assembly disappears.
That is also on the same day when there was no food and nobody was around.
Well, that's a whole different conversation. And I actually really look forward to having this one with the governor, because I have serious misgivings about the way in which this has been carried out.
Okay, just to set that decision, because I do want to ask you some of the broader questions. Where do we head from here? What are the implications for Jammu and Kashmir? Because I think that's one of the things that should affect and worry everyone. It's not a state where you want to play around easily with things like this. You know history. You know what has happened in the past when governments have been dismissed, when there's a claim that has been therefore been made by separatists, that there's no point doing mainstream politics because, you know, Delhi interferes in some form or the other. It's been part of the discourse in Kashmir for decades now, so you don't want to play into that. One of the theories that I've heard certain BJP spokesperson saying is it would have been a government of one region or one community, and therefore it could not have been allowed.
One, let me emphatically deny that this government would have been one-sided. We would have ensured adequate representation cutting across the regions of the state and cutting across the religions of the state. But if that is the yardstick the BJP wishes to use, can I please advise them that in Assam, the Muslim population, if my information is correct, is roughly around 30%. Can we please have 30% of the Council of Ministers as Muslims? The percentage of Muslims in UP is 20% plus. Can we please have 20% of the Muslims, 20% of Yogi Adityanath's ministerial colleagues as Muslims? Let them use the yardstick that they judge us by as the same yardstick that they operate under.
So you're saying you can't in any case have any representation on the basis of religion or region. Is that a fair thing to say? Do you have to have in Kashmir representation from Kashmir and Jammu? Because at the end of the day...
It is important to make sure that all communities feel adequately represented. I would have had serious misgivings with a government in Jammu and Kashmir that did not adequately take care of sentiment and representation of all regions, including the sub-regions. Not just the plains of Jammu, but the hills of Jammu. When you talk about Ladakh, you're talking about Leh and Kargil. So I can assure you that had this government come into place, all regions, sub-regions, and religious identities that make up Jammu and Kashmir would have been represented.
There's a certain view that whatever the denouement was and whichever way it paid out, neither you nor the PDP are entirely dissatisfied or unhappy with this, because it does give you the chance to be martyrs, to be wronged in some way, sense out here. And yet, you don't have to explain to your cadres that you have to support each other and work with each other. So potentially, it gives you a boost in the election. It may well have worked out exactly the way you would have liked it to work out.
Well, that sounds more like a script of the House of Cards.
The House of Cards is not always wrong when it comes to politics.
But this is not, I mean, we weren't as crafty as that.
I'm not saying you engineered it. I'm saying that the way it has worked out may eventually satisfy you. You may well have a secret smile when you're looking at everything that happened.
No, I'm not smiling secretly. I'm quite openly smiling, because this is not an outcome that I'm particularly unhappy with.
That's what I was saying.
I'd be a fool to tell you that I'm deeply unhappy with this outcome, because I'm not. That having been said, this wasn't the outcome we set out to achieve. We set out to achieve the objective of forming a government. Now, it could just as easily have backfired on us. That fax machine that didn't receive faxes could have selectively received them. It could have received the BJP and its proxies claim while refusing to receive ours. And then where would we have been? What we did was done purely with the objective of setting up a government and trying to avoid the sort of situation we have in the state. I mean, look, decisions are being taken today that have long-term consequences, but they're being taken by a government that is not accountable to the people. I'll give you one small example. The decision today to make J&K Bank sort of a party to the Right to Information Act. Now, this is something that has huge long-term implications for J&K Bank. It is something an elected government should have been tasked with. But it's been taken, the decision's been taken by a governor and a council of administrators that is not accountable to anybody.
When you look at what happens next, elections have to come. You and the PDP and the Congress and the BJP, for that matter, although they're more in Jammu, have to go back to the people and saying, yes, come and vote for us. Does it make your task that much more difficult? Are your workers and others going to look at you and saying, you're going to have a tougher time to talk about why mainstream politics is the right way forward, when the worst conspiracy theories of some of the separatists the separatists are going to be shrugging their heads and saying, see, we told you so. And you're seeing some of that on social media.
No, I'm sure we've seen some of it on social media. But those who have to participate in the elections will participate. What you saw unfolding a couple of days ago in Srinagar will have no bearing on the ongoing panchayat elections. In spite of the fact that the National Conference and the PDP are not participating, you'll still have healthy turnouts well into the double figures.
And as we head for the elections, it will be an all-out battle again between you and the PDP?
Absolutely. We're essentially fighting for the same political space.
So what are you going to tell your voters, the National Conference voters? What's the PDP going to tell people when they know if numbers can't entirely be gathered, you may well come together again afterwards?
We are not asking people to vote a coalition government. I think the people of Jammu and Kashmir need to wake up to the reality of what coalition governments have meant for the state since 2002. A lot of other states have experimented with coalitions and gone back to single-party governments. The single biggest example that you have in front of you is UP. I'd like to believe that having seen how detrimental coalition governments are to the interests of Jammu and Kashmir, that the people of Jammu and Kashmir will elect one party to govern.
But that's not that easily done, because that really means either the Congress or the National Conference have to win both in the valley and in the Jammu region.
Not difficult to do. We've done it in the past. It's not so long ago. I mean, 96 is still well within our range of our memories.
Okay, so, you know, again, looking at the situation out there, there's been some talk about if there is polarization that is kicking in elsewhere. Are those having some impact there in Jammu and Kashmir? For example, just the sort of discourse that you're often seeing on television news channels, where it's very clearly us and them, and it's becoming a staple of TV news shows in the evening to be getting some Kashmiri, you know, extremist probably, and shout and scream at that person. Has there been a deepened polarization in your view? Or is this seen as being drama? So a lot of people just discount it.
No, I mean, there is polarization, but the TV channels haven't created it. The TV channels are basically just living off it. The BJP has attempted to polarize. They will continue to attempt to polarize. But I think day before yesterday's events will give the BJP cause for concern, in as much as they are going to have to explain to the people of Jammu how it is with 26 MLAs, they were still happy supporting an individual who has only two MLAs to his name. No, it's different when the BJP supported Mufti Muhammad Sayyid in 2015, because Mufti Saab had 28 to the BJP's 26. They could justify that support. But when
the BJP has an explanation. They're saying new forces should come up, that both the National Conference and the PDP are dynastic parties. Why are you supporting them? You need a third force to come up in the valley. The established parties
That's not your reason.
I'm saying that's a reason they will give.
That's not the reason that they can. That's not going to work in Jammu. When you tell people of Jammu that the seats for the BJP are about Jammu, it's about Jammu's leadership, it's about Jammu getting its own representation, it's about Jammu doing away with the supposed hegemony of Kashmir-based political parties, and then you take your 26 MLAs and put them at the beck and call of somebody who has only two, it leaves you with a lot of explanations. It won't sell anywhere in Jammu.
Is this the season? So I'm just sort of trying to extrapolate from this going forward. We've seen all sorts of strange things happening in politics in the recent past. Is this the pattern we're going to see? You're seeing the Bahujan Samaj Party and the Samajwadi Party now coming together into a formal alliance in Uttar Pradesh, and it's looking as if it's going to endure. Are these signs of something that is going to change in Jammu and Kashmir even going forward?
Look, all parties are going to fight to try and form a government of their own. We are not looking for alliances and post-poll scenarios.
But after what's happened this week, for the NC, PDP would no longer be considered an untouchable.
Look, I didn't even consider the PDP untouchable in 2015. I mean, let's not forget, I think it was an interview to your channel that I said that I'm willing to extend a hand of friendship to Mufti Muhammad Sayyid Sahab and provide unconditional support of our MLAs to keep him from tying up with the BJP. He said no at that time. If the PDP had accepted National Conference and Congress's unconditional offer of support in 2015, perhaps the history of Jammu and Kashmir would have been very different today.
All right, let me now come to all of you to get your final thoughts on, look, it's been a week that I think will cause a lot of people a certain amount of discomfort, and it's not quite sure, clear what the path ahead is. When I'm saying discomfort, I have to also add another thing to it. And I'm going to put this out to get final thoughts from all of you. There are some who say at the end of the day, the denouement may not really hurt anybody. The National Conference and the Congress and the PDP may at the end of the day be secretly relieved. They didn't actually have to support each other. And they can go to the elections with a certain sense of martyrdom. So for whatever they are protesting, that may be one of the reasons they're not going to the courts. So let's try and ask all of these players what they think is going to happen next. Bahid, why don't I start with you? Final quick thoughts. Where do we go from here?
I want to respond to the BJP spokesman when he said that it was a Muslim government. There's nothing wrong if there's a democratically elected Muslim government. If they can head a Hindu government in the country, this is a culture they are introducing. They polarize the institutions and the politics in the state of India. Yeah, and there is nothing wrong. They should be ashamed of doing this polarized government. And now they're telling us how to be inclusive and participatory. Such words BJP can never talk about the politics of India, because they have polarized the politics in the country. And inclusive government, one inclusive government they were leading was in state of Jammu and Kashmir, where they were in alliance with the Muslim party. And the impact is in front of you, what they have done to the politics in state of Jammu and Kashmir.
Brigadier Gupta, where do we head from here? And just to take what he just said to you, you're saying that you can't have a government which is only a Muslim government. I'm asking you, is that same logic going to be applied by you in other parts of the country?
Jammu and Kashmir and all parts of the country require inclusive governments. We do not require exclusive governments.
Is BJP inclusive? What is the definition of inclusive in the country? Is BJP heading an inclusive government in the Union of India? You are running the most polarized, hatred and criminal government. Most of your MLAs and MPs have cases of criminal charges. And you're talking about inclusive government?
For too long. They are making mockery of democracy. People in the state are fed up.
So you
the results of the panchayat election and the ULB elections indicate that the people of Jammu and Kashmir are yearning for democracy. They
okay.
want real, true democracy
yes,
in the state.
Yes, 2%. And 2% participation is the yearning of democracy. That is the gift of democracy that the BJP has given to the people of Jammu and Kashmir.
Parties.
2%.
Okay, fine.
Voted.
Can I just get? All right. I have to end the show. I have to end the show now. Tanvi, let me get a final word from you. Tanvi, final word from you.
Two unfortunate things happened in the last 72 hours. One is that, again, Delhi played with the sentiments of the people of Jammu and Kashmir by using the Raj Bhavan again to, you know, somehow totally distract everything, you know, just destroy the democracy here. Two, calling us anti-national. We have lost more than 5,000 of our workers standing for the country. I mean, it is really unfortunate. And the third important what Brigadier Gupta is saying, you know, in Assam, 34% are Muslims. In spite of that, there is not a single minister in the government there. Why are there two yardsticks, one for Kashmir and one for Assam? The fact that we had Muslims and Hindus elected MLAs from both BJP, PDP and Congress. So this was not the thing. The thing was that you ensured that somehow or the other this government is not formed, because anything that is against BJP is anti-national. Anything that goes against BJP is anti-national. So when they thought that we all came together, they felt the threat and they started destroying the whole concept of democracy and they dissolved it. So this is not the right way. Unfortunately, again, the trust deficit would only increase by what they did today.
All right. Can I just ask you, and that's actually the last part is something that I just wanted to ask you about. The trust deficit which built up over the decades is one of the major reasons why the Kashmir problem is still a Kashmir problem. So to that extent, anybody who's an observer, who's not interested in the politics of it, who doesn't care whether it's a BJP government or a PDP government or an NC government or a Congress government or whatever government, but if you're a true nationalist, you would be concerned about the widening of a trust deficit, because that is potentially bad for national interest. That's what Rahul was saying.
Why did it come about? It only came about because of the exclusion and different status of Jammu and Kashmir under 370 and 35A. It could not integrate with the country. Therefore, the different status has to go. Identity is not in conflict with integration and development. We have seen in Tamil Nadu, we have seen in Telangana, we have seen in Andhra Pradesh, we have seen in Malayalam identity. It is in consonance with nationalism. That exclusion has raised this trust deficit, and I am sure the government of India must give it a call to remove these two parameters which has come as a hindrance towards integration of Jammu and Kashmir.
Okay, I'm going to get Salman Sos to respond to that, and then last word from Rahul.
Well, by the way, special status is not just in Jammu and Kashmir, in other states as well, Northeast, Himachal Pradesh.
There is no bar.
No, no, no,
there
please,
are restrictions,
please.
But no bar. Please,
please
remember.
Please.
That's the difference.
Please, please. Please read
sorry,
the Constitution.
Sorry. I have read it, and I
debate.
Can give you and point out
I'm
word
just,
by
I,
word.
I don't want you to mislead. No fake news
no,
here.
No, I'm not. I'm not.
So when you lift restrictions from Himachal Pradesh,
Kashmir.
Then you come and talk to me. First lift
please,
restrictions
please,
in Himachal Pradesh
please,
in the Northeast, then
please
come
read
to
the
me.
Legal documents on
okay,
Kashmir.
Okay,
I have it with
all right. By the way, the BJP's standard is the following. When NC
you
is
you are misleading.
When NC is in
you are hiding the facts.
Please,
okay, let him.
Please do not interrupt me. When NC is in alliance with the BJP, it is not anti-national, it is not dynastic. When PDP is in alliance with the BJP, it is not anti-national, it is not dynastic. Now that the leader of the party that they want to support as chief minister, do you know who he is? His father was a big leader of JNK. And by the way, he was a former separatist, but now he's a nationalist. BJP's politics
he
is about power.
He has all the right to be a nationalist
please, please,
after being
Mr.
a separatist.
Nigam, Mr. Nigam,
what
please.
Stops him?
Why
what
are you interrupting me? I did not interrupt you. I did
He's
not
coming into the mainstream.
I did not interrupt you. I'm just saying, BJP's politics is about power, nothing else. This is what you see. Aaj Deshbhakt, kal Deshdrohi. That's it.
Kal
and you
Deshdrohi, aaj Deshbhakt.
Please remember it.
Kal Deshdrohi, aaj Deshbhakt.
Okay. Last word.
You are
we are flat out of time. We are flat out of time. Rahul, just help us again. Put this into perspective for us. What does this mean for Jammu and Kashmir going forward? Are you concerned today?
Well, not really. And you'll be surprised with that answer, because the kind of politics you've witnessed here, which you've heard the statement, is becoming irrelevant to Jammu Kashmir. Kashmiri people are not trusting their leadership. And what fills me with hope, if you notice the panchayat election, which is happening right now, I'm not talking of the council election, Look at the voting percentages in Kashmir. Look at the faces which they are voting. It's none of these. There are new faces which are coming about. And I think you will very soon see an alternate to the established parties coming, being thrown up from Kashmir. And I think that is the crux.
That is the trend which is being noticed.
New leadership which is emerging from Jammu and Kashmir. Look, the resignation of an MP from Ladakh is a great pointer to where things are going. Secondly, I think when you talk of 370, 35, the cry should come from Jammu and Kashmir, a popular movement which says that we don't want Article 370, we don't want 35A, let's wait for that day. Let's not impose things on Jammu and Kashmir.
So that's been on that sign of hope that he thinks that the new leadership is coming up from the people, and let's hope it is not an anti-national. Let's hope it's not a separatist. Some of the young people seem to have taken there. Yeah, so let's hope that what you're saying is actually correct, and it's a positive step forward, and there's a positive sign of change. And let's hope that what's happened this week will be seen as an aberration that will swiftly move aside, and we will actually be able to have a good election in Jammu and Kashmir sometime in the near future. On that note, I'm going to end this particular episode. You're watching The Big Fight. We'll be back next week.